We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Dustin Hockensmith, Andrew Pichet, and Jim Galante wrapping up Penn State season, wrapping up the 27-24 loss to Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. This is stock up and stock down. And really, you guys got feelings about this, so I'm gonna start with you guys. Stock up. Let's stay positive first and foremost. Let's ring that chamois for as long as we can, and then we'll get into the stock down, because we've covered a lot of the stock down. And I get people who are listening to this and believing that we're negative, but I think negative is just reality in this situation. There's a lot more stuff to be concerned about than I think there is to celebrate coming off this game.
I want to say one thing about being negative. This is one of the few times, I'm trying to think back the last 3 years, during when Penn State's won nine plus games each of those 3 years. I'm trying to think of a game that I clearly iterate and say, you know what? Penn State beat itself. This was one of those games where I think Penn State was more of a factor. The reason Penn State lost was Penn State beat itself. And you could even look at, like, okay, the Michigan State game this year. There was an element of that, but it didn't have as much feel of this as, like, wow, they clearly beat themselves this game. They were did. The ones that controlled and decided the outcome of this game, and they beat themselves. And you can't say that about the Ohio State game. You know what I mean? Can you? I don't think you can say that. They had a say in the outcome, but they didn't truly, from one quarter one through four, when you look back at it, I just felt the Citrus Bowl was one of those rare times where, you know what, they, across the board, execution, mistakes, penalties, coaching, philosophy, game management, et cetera, they beat themselves.
Was this the positive portion that you were looking for, Dusty?
I was just saying that was the reason there's a sort of negative.
The basis for it.
Go ahead. Stock up. Sorry, Jim.
Well, I'll start with one. I know earlier in the show I was Mr. Negativity with Trace, because I don't think he played his best game. However, what he demonstrated at the end of the game was all the things that make him such a great leader. Coming in, obviously dealing with an injury, but not just that, just his perseverance, the guy refuses to lose, all of those things were being demonstrated, and, you know, kudos to the kid for that. It was fantastic and great to watch.
I think there other than winning the game, I don't think there was a better way for him to leave a final impression, because you wouldn't have guessed the way that he played in the last, 20 minutes or so of this game, 25 minutes or so of this game, that he had any injury whatsoever. You knew that he was hobbling. You didn't know what specifically the ailment was if you weren't in the press box and you didn't get that note from Penn State's staff that he broke his foot. I still just struggle to wrap my head around that. He's in a walking boot after the game. But he was pretty vintage Trace late in this game. The way that he was moving around, the way that he was running the ball with kind of reckless abandon, wasn't concerned about taking hits, did a little bit of jawing back. I don't think I've seen a bigger collection of trash talkers in any of Penn State's games this year than those guys, specifically Cash Daniel, their linebacker. That guy was like...
He was a chirper.
Redneck extraordinaire. Like, he's the fisherman guy, whatever. But he was in people's grills, and he was looking at Penn State's sideline and doing stuff. And at late in that game, when Trace was starting to feel it, I think he was jawing back a little bit at those guys.
It was the most... It was the final 25 minutes was the most Trace McSorley ever. He didn't miss a start. He played... Through injuries, he was tough, he was resilient, he still performed, he gave their team an opportunity to win. Every time he stepped on the field for 3 years, that 25 minutes was 3 years of Trace McSorley in a nutshell right there. To me, stock up, can I give another stock up? I thought Garrett Taylor, safety, stock up, 10 tackles, 6 solos, a tackle for a loss, played, first time he was like... clearly visible as an impact player, and it's been a long season for him. He hasn't been bad, right? Has he been like? I don't think he's been like. He hasn't struggled or anything. He didn't stand out. Well, in this game against a fast Kentucky team that wanted to run the ball, I think he was one that stood out to me.
Good call. Very good call. You and I were talking about that again, texting during the game. I thought Taylor was fantastic. Can I give another one?
Yeah.
That's why I interrupted so I could get another choice.
Go ahead.
I'm going to still go back to my guy, KJ Hamler. He touches the ball. Good things happen. So stock up. Even though he didn't get the ball enough, stuff happens when he touches the ball. Good stuff happens. You got to get him the ball more. Have I said that before?
Yeah. Who needs to get the ball more?
KJ Hamler.
Okay, if he gets the ball more, who needs to get the ball less?
DeAndre
Hopkins. I think you could tell me that.
I want you to say it, Jim.
Number three.
Yeah, I don't know. It's never personal, obviously, but Garrett Taylor's a good one. And over the course of this season, we've seen him really show up, like athletically and from, you know, he wants to be physical too, you know, and that's one of the things you're never quite sure about, especially a guy making the transition from cornerback to safety. How physical are they going to want to be when a team like Kentucky is going to line up, boot up, and try to run it down your throat? He was up there. He was the guy. He was in the box. He was making plays. He finished with, what, 11 tackles? Is that what the number was?
10 tackles.
10 tackles.
Yeah.
How about Micah Parsons in this one? You could really see his first step, his range, his quickness, his athleticism, you know, his finishing power. It's starting to come together, and he's one guy, and I know I'm not really saying anything brand new here, but as you look ahead to getting through the offseason, seeing how guys show up in the spring, seeing how guys show up in the summer ready for, in his case, the sophomore season, he's a guy that – you know, you are very excited to see what year two of this looks like. If this is him being a work in progress, if this is him making one start all year long and still leading the team in tackles, you wonder what's next for him. And obviously the range and the quickness that you can see him closing out, going sideline to sideline, and that's awesome. But I think the next layer will be just making plays behind the line of scrimmage, because he is more than capable of doing it.
And what was nice to see is the progress from the start of the year to the end of the year. He was a much better player at the end of the season than in the beginning.
Yeah.
And we saw some things, some of these aspects early. It came to fruition late, didn't it?
I'll just remind everybody that this was his first year playing linebacker. Somebody figured it out is the second point I'd like to make. He blitzed twice, once off the edge, once up the middle. Both times he impacted the pocket. Impacting the pocket. That's what you're looking for in a blitz. You're not looking for him to make the sack or the splash play. You're looking for him to impact the pocket to make that quarterback step up and uncomfortable. Both were incompletions. One was a sack, and the other one was he forced him to step in and throw the ball early down the field, and he overthrew the receiver. So impacting the pocket. He did make a couple mistakes. I saw him go into he had bad gap security on the one play that led to a long Benny Snell run, and he tried to make that on that little flare pass. He tried to make the play.
Yeah.
He tried to make the interception, and at that point, Penn State needed somebody to make a play. But he led them with 13 tackles, 8 solos. He's side to side, north and south. The ceiling for him is just being tapped. But I think he made, from game 12 to game 13, I even think he made that first step in the next direction. I think you saw it was more clean. It was more polished. It was more solid. Yeah, he still overran a couple plays. That's because he's faster than anybody else.
Yeah.
He just gets there so darn fast that sometimes he's going to overrun plays. But it's not because he's maintaining poor gap security.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Penn State, Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. We're doing a little stock up, stock down. I've got another stock up, which is Pat Freiermuth delivering again in not seeing a bounty of targets, right? But his catch radius is so necessary. You know, it helps any quarterback, but under these circumstances, I think that's why he's been trusted so much, is that he's maybe the only guy on the roster where Trace knows, I don't have to be 100% fine with this throw. I can just let him go up and make a catch. So he does that. He, you know, a little pitch and catch on the touchdown, a little awkward, trying to high point the ball, on his other catch of the game. But this was about 8 touchdown catches this season. He's another guy who I think qualifies as just starting to realize what his ceiling is. I don't really know, you know, I can't break down the film with, enough precision to say, oh, he's a good blocker, great blocker, bad blocker. I know he's a willing blocker, and I think he's a good blocker now. And to have all this stuff come together for a true freshman, you know, it's pretty rare. And I think he's another guy, like he's in Micah Parsons' shadow. He's in some other guys in this 2018 class's shadow. But Pat Freiermuth has a high, high ceiling to the point where getting 4 years out of him is far from guaranteed.
Exactly. And I'll add on to the stock up with him. What I really liked on his touchdown catch, it looked like he was stopped at about the 4-yard line and he just put his shoulder down and said, I'm going to score. Yep. And he ran through a couple defenders.
By the way, that was Josh Allen trying to drag him down from behind.
Oh, and by the way, he laid a lick on Josh
Allen.
Yes,
he did.
On that. Well, was it the? It was a Miles Sanders run. I can't forget what
that was. Was it the fourth down?
I think it was the fourth down run.
Yes.
And he came across the line of scrimmage. That had to have felt good. as a competitor, you know who the other guy's best player is, and to be able to lay the wood on him. Had to have felt good. So that's Pat Freiermuth. How about stock down? We've been through it. I'm going to lead off stock down,
though. Okay, go ahead.
Robert Windsor being suspended for this game was a huge difference. To go against a physical power running team without maybe arguably your best run defender up front, certainly the guy inside who's most likely to make a play behind the line of scrimmage. And then with the defensive tackle rotation in the shape that it's in, you'll know that's going to come back to haunt you in the fourth quarter. You'll also know that, I mean, Antonio Shelton, good player, not starter caliber player. And then who, you know, you're cycling guys in behind him who are not supposed to be at that place in the rotation. The trickle down effect from that is tough.
Etor Gross-Matos was a stock down for me.
Zeros across the board.
Zeros
right?
across the board. A more physical, athletic offensive line. Yeah. That left tackle had his way with him. He needs another year of development. He's still going to be an impact player, and he's still really good. Just when he got against another level of an offensive line, he was clearly not up to that. And an SEC offensive line is a little bit different than a Big Ten offensive line. We all know that. And he struggled.
And style-wise, this Kentucky offense didn't really lend itself to Gross-Matos' skill set, but no plays against the run either,
correct.
Which That's... is to your point. Anything else, Jim?
Real quick for our buddy Greg Pickle, the Kentucky quarterback. He was not good.
Not good.
Not good.
We've seen a lot of bad quarterbacking this season.
I thought it might be the difference in this game. It was not. That's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to check us out. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.